The following is an unrehearsed interview with Mrs. Mary Bingham. The tape is being made for the Kentucky Oral History Commission and the Department for Libraries and Archives as part of the project The Bookmobile, an Historical Perspective. The interview is conducted by Gene Wiggins at Mrs. Bingham's home in Louisville on November 22nd, 1985. Thank you, Mrs. Bingham, for inviting me to your home today and agreeing to reminisce about the beginning of the Bookmobile project. You played a very vital part in it. What activated your interest in the project?
Well, at the time, I was a book page editor of the Courier Journal, and my problem was very different from that of other Kentuckians because I had so many books to deal with that I hardly knew how to do it. I used to come in by the hundreds, and I had to assign and be reviewed. But my first awareness of the fact that other people in Kentucky didn't have many books came when Mr. Harris Schachter came to see me one day, and he told me these, gave me these grisly statistics about the situation in Kentucky as far as books are concerned, and that was that I think 60% of the total Kentuckians had no access to library service whatever. And in the rural counties, the figure increased to 80%. And I am a great believer in the necessity of reading and books. And Harry had a very imaginative and rather dramatic plan in mind. And that was to extend the library service that already existed in the shape of, I think, at that point, 6 bookmobiles. Now they had been bought and begged for by Mrs. George Gurley, and she and the Belknap family were responsible, I think, largely for those bookmobiles. And Mrs. Gray was a perfectly wonderful woman. She was like Eleanor Roosevelt in her determination and her persistence. And she was a most appealing figure, really, in the whole thing, and was vastly responsible for the success of it. Anyhow, Mrs. Gray and Harry and I got together and discussed Harry's plan. And this was to buy 100 bookmobiles so that every county in the state would have one. We were to get funds from corporations and individuals. I think he planned to get $300,000 from them, $300,000 from corporations, and $300,000 from individuals, and $200,000 from the state. And with that, we meant to buy these bookmobiles, and with the state's money, largely to put books in them. Well, this was the date of this was 53, I think, 1953. And we envisaged a campaign of almost a year because we had to start out, and we, in order to get the cooperation of the counties, which was necessary because a part of all this plan was that the counties were to undertake keep the bookmobiles in order and to pay the salary of the bookmobile librarian driver. So it meant that we had to establish contact with as many counties as we possibly could to explain what we had in view. So we did, and we first of all, I think, interested the Friends of Kentucky Libraries. And then from there we went on, as far as I can remember, and we made speaking engagements all over the state. Harry was a tremendously vital and persuasive public speaker, and I simply got up and trembled and uttered a few insecure words. But it was remarkable to me that they were, people were as responsive as they were. It was really very touching. I remember one trip we made together, Mrs. Gray and Harry and I, and we went over to Pike County, to Inez. And at that point in history, Inez had one road. There was one road in the county to Inez. And it was, well, I mean, the condition of everything there was just so shocking and so sad to me. But the people were so wonderful. I mean, they were so responsive and so hopeful. And the bookmobile project really caught fire, and it seems to me sometimes in the most badly off counties, they seem to grasp it with so much hope and so much eagerness.
When you mention the people, who made up your audiences when you spoke to them?
Well, we generally went to the courthouse, and the county judge and the superintendent of schools, of course, were our focal points, and teachers. Of course, teachers instantly saw what this might mean to them, because in those school systems, you can imagine what the resource of books amounted to, practically nothing. And this, before we started this project, the six bookmobiles that Mrs. Gray had set up, I remember one of the early ones was in Bell County, and we had a perfectly wonderful interview with the woman who was driving that bookmobile, and I'm sorry I can't remember her name because she was a wonderful person. And she said that in the, I think, 2 years that she had been driving the bookmobile around, that the reading, the level of reading of those children had advanced 60%. Well, this is a terribly useful figure, and this is one of the things we used with great effect when we were talking to corporations and industries, because I remember a man who was trying to set up a small industry in a small town in Kentucky told me that he had to interview 1,500 men before he found 400 who could work in his factory because there was so much illiteracy. And he had to have men who could read instructions and could be taught how to manage the machinery. Well, that was, I'm just throwing that in, that was a very effective approach to businessmen. The fact that these bookmobiles were helping to eradicate the really deplorable state of illiteracy in Kentucky, which I think at that time was about 35%. Well, we just pursued this business of going around and speaking to the counties, and we would try to set up, while we were there, a little committee to further the idea and to organize more people so that they could get the county committed to support the bookmobile if they should get it. We went on. Then we used to have in Louisville, I remember we'd have about two meetings a week to arrange the schedules and also to set up speaking engagements, not only out in the country, but in Louisville. And I remember I spoke at Bellarmine and the Council of Jewish Women and the Women's Club and the University of Kentucky Librarians Class and the American Association of University Women and all kinds of different bodies which had a sort of natural affinity to the idea. I mean, most of the people, academic people and school people and that sort of thing. Also business people. And then Harry and I had a great schedule of going to see businessmen and talking to them about illiteracy and how important it was to do something about that terrible situation. I don't mean to say that we had any idea that bookmobiles would cure illiteracy, but there were wonderful examples of what the impact of the bookmobile in the schools. For instance, I remember one teacher told me that on the day that the bookmobile was to come, that attendance was almost always just nearly 100%. And this was not at all the case usually. And then we learned too that there's really quite a lot of amusing stories from the bookmobile drivers, who were absolutely wonderful people. I just loved talking to them because they were warm and enthusiastic, and they had developed the most wonderful rapport with the people that, who came to their bookmobile. One woman said that at Thanksgiving she was overwhelmed with canned beans and fried chicken and eggs and all kinds of things that people would bring her as presents, you see. And although the librarians, the professionals, I think sometimes were a little bit uneasy because we were talking about librarian drivers, and many of them, of course, were in no sense professional librarians. Mm-hmm. They, at that point in the development of getting books to people, it was almost as important to have the kind of people we had who could establish a wonderful human relation with all these people. They were not condescending, they were not professional, cold professionals, they were warm-hearted human beings who enjoyed seeing people and remembered people's names, remembered what books a certain child had already had. For instance, one bookmobile driver told me that there was a little girl named Sarah who was about 10, and Sarah was first-rate reader, really very good reader. And she came one time, and the bookmobile was there. She was selecting a book, and she selected a real primer, a really beginning book. And the driver said, "Well, Sarah, you don't want to read that. You can read much harder things than that." And Sarah said, "It ain't for me, it's for my pappy. It's all the harder he can read." And that sort of, out of just human interest stories, were just a dime a dozen. We had them all the time, and they were very effective indeed when we were talking to people about the need in the rural counties. Well, now let's see, we were organizing the counties, and we were talking to business people, and we were also talking to Governor Lawrence Weatherby, who was one of our great mainstays, because he was, as I remember it, instantly sympathetic, and he was, I think, tremendously helpful later on in getting the library bill through the legislature. And we were very, very much indebted to him. Well, as the the project matured and we began to get these really very heartening responses from the people in the counties, and it seemed to be taking shape. One thing that a lot of industries liked was that the bookmobiles could be given, and then they would have on the side of them presented to the people of Kentucky by R.J. Reynolds or Ashland Oil or whatever business had given them.
Built-in advertising.
And it was a very, very nice public relations effort. Things began to fall into place. I mean, we got a lot of businessmen to give books, give bookmobiles. We had, a few memorial bookmobiles, people who gave these bookmobiles in memory of a friend or a member of the family who had died. And that was very nice. I think the next step was the problem of, once you got 100 bookmobiles, where will you get the books? Because we didn't have any book fund. And Harry devised the idea of the March for Books. And I was a little bit skeptical, because I said, Harry, people give books and they like it to be 50-year-old arithmetic and that kind of thing. But he said, well, I will no doubt get a lot of useless books, but I think people are really interested in this, and they will come forward with books that we can use. Well, we did a tremendous publicity job on the March for Books. And then one night people put their books out on the porch, and then in the evening collections, they would leave their lights on the porch so that the books could be collected. And we had the Teamsters Union, I think, and the Boy Scouts, and I think other unions came in and helped us collect these books. And the books were taken to the State Fairgrounds, I think that was where it was, some enormous room where these books simply cascaded, and they were all over the floor, they were everywhere. It was an appalling job. And you know, it's so ungrateful for me, but I don't remember who did the, who marked the books and got them in order, and do you remember?
I don't recall, except that Miss Willis assisted with it,
Margaret,
I know.
Willis, who of course was a...
She commented on.
And I haven't said anything about Frances Jane Porter either, who was at that time president.
She was the state librarian at that time.
Librarian. And she, of course, I should really have spoken about Frances Ann Porter earlier, because she and Paul Hughes, the executive committee of the Bookmobile Project, and all those people were absolutely essential, and particularly Frances Ann, who had such a vision about what this would mean. Well, anyhow, I think that the librarians organized volunteers. We had an enormous number of volunteers to help go through these books.
I have read that you collected 1,600,000 books that night.
Yes, we did.
Is that correct?
Absolutely astonishing. We had thought we would start the bookmobiles out with 600 books, which of course is in any library the most pathetic thing, but it was a start anyhow. And then of course later on, with the passage of the legislation, the library legislation, we were able to buy new books, and that was a great help. But this, the March for Books, is not only to get books, and we hope we could get some, that a good many who were usable, but it was a tremendous involvement of the public in this whole thing. And people were, as you can see from the number of books that they that were brought in, they were, in general, people were involved, and it was a very healthy and pleasant thing to see how generous and willing people were to give to it.
Do you recall the effort about the movie that was offered across the state about the same time?
Yes, I remember. That was a great help to me, because I would say my few trembling words, and then I'd say, oh, now we have this wonderful movie, so we could show the movie. And it was a movie, as I remember it, of a bookmobile in action, with children coming up to it and a bookmobile driver giving out the books, and then a lot of explanatory stuff about what this would mean. But that's as much as I remember about the movie.
I read about another one that was sponsored by the Kentucky Cinema Association, which was shown across the state, and children had to bring two books to be admitted.
Oh, that's right. That's one thing that Harry Schacht, I think, thought of, that they would show this movie and the books, not money, but books would let you into it. And I think that produced a lot of books. He had all sorts of ideas. He was the head of the department store of Kaufman Strauss here, and he had been chairman of the Committee for Kentucky, which was an early effort at looking at the economic problems of Kentucky and trying to make a plan about how these could be best be solved. And of course, at that point, the whole question of education and illiteracy struck him, and that's where I think he got the whole impetus of this idea. But
some of the other towns throughout the state had small book drives that same night, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I don't mean to neglect them, but of course the Louisville one was so enormous,
right,
and so remarkable that that got most of the attention. But the smaller towns did have book drives, and they were very useful and very helpful indeed.
What about donations of books from book companies or individuals? Were there some of those also?
I think I remember as a book editor that quantities of review copies that I had were put into it. The publishers are not, in general, they don't loosen the purse strings very easily for this kind of thing, because they get asked all the time for free books for every kind of activity. But I think the books mostly came from individuals.
I read that Britannica donated sets of encyclopedias to each bookmobile.
Well, I'm sure that's right, but they really would have been more useful in the regional libraries, where I suppose they ultimately were put. The books on the bookmobiles, had to be particularly for the children, fairly simple books.
Right.
But the bookmobile drivers were, I think, very helpful to people who needed more sophisticated books. And who these drivers would very often get books from the Central Library in Frankfurt for people who were studying or writing or who needed a different kind of book. But one of the most popular book kinds of books on the bookmobiles were cookbooks. And one, I remember one little girl said, asked for a cookbook, and the bookmobile driver said, "Well, are you starting to cook?" And she said, "No, but my ma's sick and my pappy's got to cook and he don't know how."
That satisfied all kinds of needs of everyday living, didn't it?
Yes, it really did.
Well, I think I may have interrupted you there. Let's go back to all of the books that were collected and find out how they got from there onto bookmobiles.
I really don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
a lot of hard work.
A tremendous moving operation. And then, we had at the end, when we got our bookmobiles, and we had this tremendous parade through town with brass bands and police escorts and everything. Must have held up traffic in the most ghastly way. But anyhow, they made their way out to the fairgrounds. And then Governor Weatherby and all kinds of VIPs were out there. And the bookmobiles circled around the racetrack, looking very handsome. They were all sparkling new and had these, I think they were white, as I remember. And with the Kentucky bookmobile and then with donors and all on them. And then each one would come up, and it would be sort of given to the governor, and then the governor would present it to the county which was going to have that one, because some people were very often wanted to designate the county that they were to give their bookmobile to. And so the person representing the county would step forward and receive the bookmobile, and off they would go with it, you see. And this is really quite an amusing and lively sort of situation, as you can imagine.
I believe so. Could we speak a little bit about some of the other people who were active in the beginning? For instance, Mr. Paul Hughes. Could you say a little more about him?
Oh, dear Paul. He was the most charming and delightful man. He was on our staff at the Courier Journal, and he undertook to organize the publicity for the project, and he did an absolutely stunning job. And the fact that he was on the staff at the Courier Journal sort of worried me, because I've read the Courier, which doesn't like to be used by its staffers, would make it difficult. But I must say, my husband was very much involved, very much for the whole thing, so we really had pages and pages of free advertising in both papers.
Mm-hmm.
Very
That's
useful
wonderful.
Indeed. In fact, I think all the newspapers were tremendously helpful all over the state, and in Lexington and Paducah. Ed Paxton was tremendously helpful. Of course, newspapers, in a sense, have sort of axed the grind, because the more people who read, the better off newspapers are. But however, it was a perfectly public-spirited effort to join in this great movement. I just have to say that Paul was just, we couldn't possibly have gotten along without him, because he knew, he wrote very well, and he was intensely interested, and he knew, he used to go out, I think, on the bookmobile sometimes, and he could see what was happening. And all of that was really very, very useful indeed.
Another person was Miss Porter, whom you mentioned before, Frances
yes.
Jane Porter.
Well, she, you know, she was a little person, very slight and slim, and red-headed, and with some of the wonderful red-headed characteristics, absolutely fired with the idea, and very determined, she was the sort of main person with Harry. Those two really were the people who had their ideas and who sparked the whole thing. And I was tremendously fond of her. And Margaret Willis, who later on, Margaret was always a member of the committee, but I think after Jane Porter died, she became absolutely essential for this whole movement. And she's a woman of tremendous charm and gentleness, and yet persistence. And I have the greatest respect for all these librarians. They're wonderful people.
Thank you. We appreciate that. What about Mrs. Blazer, who is now Mrs. Norris in Ashland? Was she not very active?
Oh, she
also
was active. Yes, she was. I think she was on our committee. I know Ashland Oil was one of the first businesses to give a bookmobile, and that was wonderful, because once you get a great firm a great industry like Ashland doing something, a lot of people feel better about following suit, I think. And she was, she was very, very helpful indeed, and particularly in that part of Kentucky where she was such a tremendous figure and such a wonderfully public-spirited woman.
There were actually many leading citizens and leading agencies in the state involved in the beginning, right?
There really were, and I wish I'd kept more notes and more records of the people that we had that helped us on it. I'm afraid I didn't do that. It's very slovenly of me.
Well, I'm sure we have some in hand, and we're going to have to pause for a moment while we turn to the other side of our tape. I have been impressed, as I have spoken with you and other people who worked with the inception of the bookmobile idea about the positive, receptive attitude of the public.
Well, it was extraordinary. I've worked in many good causes, and I think I've never, of course everybody's against cancer, and you don't mind many people who are defending cancer, but you, the wholehearted, instant support of most people, and even in the very poor counties, of people like the school superintendents and the teachers and then the people who were just people who wanted books, was really quite heartening and remarkable. I don't think I've ever done anything in which I felt such wonderful backup support from practically anybody you talk to. I think nobody is at least willing to say they're opposed to reading, though I'm afraid we don't have many as many readers today as we hoped for. But the bookmobile did have universal acceptance and support and really devotion from a lot of people. I remember a few years ago, I think in 1973, when Margaret Willis retired, and her, all of her friends and her devoted co-workers got up a little fund and gave Margaret a ticket to a cruise on around the Greek islands. And we presented this to her at a meeting. She was terribly confused by it and thought, and very, very modest as she always is. But I took the opportunity then to sort of bring us up to date about the difference in the 20 years since Jane Porter and Harry Schachter and Paul Hughes and the others had started the Bookmobile Project, and that date of July 1st, 1973. And I remember I said that 20 years ago there were just no public libraries that existed for 60% of Kentuckians. And that, as I said before, amounted to 80% in the rural counties. And today, I said at that time, there are only 15 counties out of our 120 that are without library services. And 67 libraries were built and renovated with federal and state funds by 1973. And 20 years ago, the per capita expenditure for libraries was 25 cents. That compared to what, nearly $2 in Massachusetts then, caused for great shame, I think. But today, our per capita expenditure is $1.89, quite an improvement. And 20 years ago, there were no state-supported libraries for the blind and the physically handicapped and prisons and the hospitals. And today, the great solace of books is available for those people who really terribly need it, I think. There were, at that time, at the time of the Bookmobile Project, no regional libraries. And today, 90 counties are so served. 20 years ago, the circulation of library books was about, I think, about 2 million. And now the figure is nearly 12 million. So all of that has been accomplished in this time. And many people, of course, are responsible for that. Not certainly the Bookmobile Project is a very minor part of it, I think. But I do think that the fact that the bookmobiles had such a constructive impact, particularly on children, made it easier to persuade the legislature and the subsequent governors that this was that the extension of library services was something that should be done. That was a shocking that people were not able to use books as they should be able to do. And so I think in that sense that the Bookmobile Project has been enormously useful. because it opened the eyes of a lot of people who might not have seen that fact, that books, people exposed to books, in particular children exposed to books, begin to be readers. It so often the bookmobile driver's stories about the children's reaction were so touching. I remember, I think the bookmobile driver gave a book, one of her books that belonged to her, to a little boy, and he took the book and said, "I'm going to put this under my mattress. It's the only one we've ever had." And that sort of thing, I think, was effective in bringing about the great improvement in library services that Kentucky has had in the last 20 years.
Well, bookmobiles reached a group of people who would probably never have come into a public library. Do you agree?
Oh, entirely, yes. Because there were no public libraries in
right.
in these counties. And the only books most people had in some of the poorer parts of the state where they always had the Bible, which is a good thing, and they generally had a Sears Roebuck catalog. And I suppose you might say that those two books minister to the body and the soul about as well as anything. But it's not really very adequate. One thing, I don't think that the children in those counties probably had never seen a sort of contemporary child's book, a brightly illustrated, attractive, lively sort of book. And it really changed their lives a good deal. There was one, I was trying to remember something a woman said to one of the bookmobile drivers, and I caught my eye so, and made me realize.
It would be wonderful if we could make a collection of the anecdotes of bookmobile librarians.
I think it would, and before they all disappear from here, they ought to be put down. Well, I can't find it, but there was a grandmother who brought her 12-year-old granddaughter to the general store where the bookmobile was giving out books. "She's got sense," she said, but she's got to learn how to use her sense. She's learned up to her chance, but it's been a poor chance. It's a lot worse to be soul hungry than to be body hungry." I thought that was so wonderful, and that's a marvelous. I was there when this woman came. A little old lady with piercing blue eyes and not a sunbonnet, because they don't wear sunbonnets anymore, but a shawl around her head, and very vigorous. You could see she was a marvelous grandmother. She really brought them up the way they should be brought. Her grandchildren were spending the weekend with her, and she had come down to get some books so she could give them something to read over the weekend.
Oh, that's beautiful. Did you spend some time riding bookmobiles?
Oh, yes, I rode them a lot. And very bumpy rides they were, too, sometimes. They rode, even 20 years ago, not very good. I found it really fascinating. So much copy in it, so much human interest. And I always enjoyed doing it.
Well, that gave you certainly a deeper appreciation of the results of your effort.
Well, it really did. I was really glad to get it on the road, as we used to say, and go around with them.
What about the involvement of civic groups or women's organizations across the state or Friends of Library groups?
Well, I think they all did their share. The women's groups are particularly helpful. The women's club in Louisville was very helpful, and so were women's groups in the smaller places. I'm just so sorry I didn't keep any records of the organizations of people who did help us, but I'm sure that, I mean, there's no question that they were the ones who were helpful. Mm-hmm. Women who, groups of women in small towns, particularly in the country, who could see at once what this would mean for their children, and that was probably a motivating factor. And also for themselves, the women, this one quote I was looking for, a woman said that she wanted a book to take me out of myself, she said. You know, I mean, so...
Books do that for us.
Yeah, so because so many women's lives at that time were so humdrum and so drudgery-laden. And to be taken out of myself was really something that was terribly important to them, and continues to be, I'm sure.
Yes, many people read for escape.
Yes.
And adventure, and to get away from themselves. You have said that you did receive great support from Governor Weatherby. Were there other people in state government who were supportive of the effort?
There were, and I'm very ungrateful for me not to come up with something with a greater list, because there were many of them. Wendell Butler, who was superintendent of public instruction at the time, was tremendously helpful. And one person I remember, speaking of sorting that tremendous avalanche of books, was Mrs. Harold Gordon, because I think she was in charge of that. And she was assisted by the local bookmobile committee, and the American Legion, the American Association of University Women, Boy Scout troops, and just many others. And the Junior Chamber of Commerce helped, and a lot of labor people helped. And it was really quite remarkable that there was so much involvement from every sort of level. And
I know you've worked with many projects. Have you ever worked with one that had such a diversified group of supporters in such a large area
Mm-mm.
as the bookmobile?
No, I never have, because a lot of my efforts have been in a rather narrow field of education. I've been a board member of the Council for Basic Education for many years, and I've my great interest in education is what they now call the pursuit of excellence. And that is giving bright children a chance to develop their potential. And that's a subject of general interest, surely, but it's not something that everybody responds to at once the way they did to the bookmobile project. No, I think it had a kind of universal appeal that you don't find in everything. I mean, people, for instance, everybody wants to help crippled children and wants to find the answer to cancer and all these terrible things that we're afflicted with. But for one thing, it was so simple. I mean, it was not like having to do a lot of expensive research and to go through a lot of bureaucracy. It was just a very sort of simple-minded idea. Just get an automobile and put some books in it and get them out to people. But I think that appealed to the sort of pragmatic American point of view.
It took the information to the people
Yes.
on an equal basis
Right.
all over the state, which was certainly a wonderful thing. I have seen two or three films recently which have been made on the history of the library, of the bookmobile. One in particular, Lonnie and the Bookmobile. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen it. Is this used by the department?
Well, it is housed at the department and is available from there. The little boy, Lonnie, certainly brings forth the importance of books in an individual's life.
Mm-hmm.
And was exemplary of some of the other children you had mentioned and how much they meant to them. Bookmobiles had a great deal to do with the development of public libraries throughout the state.
Well, I think I was very gratified when the, knowing the shortcomings of bookmobiles, when the movement for the regional libraries began, because that really is the most sensible way to convey library services. And understand that in some of the counties they still have bookmobiles that operate out of the regional library.
Yes.
And of course a well-equipped, well-organized regional library is in touch with Franklin and can exchange books, can get books at particular people, can they not?
Yes, they may.
Mm-hmm. And I've sort of lost touch with the library movement. Are these regional libraries supported with county funds and federal funds?
Yes, there are state. They operate through the Department for Libraries and Archives,
mm-hmm.
and they do receive funding.
They're getting the federal funds now.
From there, the federal funds are not as gracious as they once were, but
nice.
There are some federal funds available. Yes.
Yeah, I remember Carl Perkins is such a friend of libraries. And I remember going up there once and testifying for his labor committee on the library bill, the federal library bill that was then in the House. And he was one of our staunch friends and supported the Bookmobile Project.
Bookmobiles in all phases of education.
Yes, always.
He was
a wonderful man, he was.
He certainly was. Well, certainly bookmobiles would never have come about had it not have been for volunteers,
yes,
like yourself and the others you have mentioned. And find
countless numbers of now the Mrs. Gordon's volunteers who tackled all those books after the book drive. I mean, that was tremendous work, you know.
Sure. Have you any idea what happened to the books that were not usable on the bookmobile?
Well, I'm rather alarmed because I thought if people give something, they don't want it thrown away. So we didn't talk much about the books that we couldn't use, but they were sold for recycling. And so they weren't lost. I mean, something was made of them anyhow. And we never divulged, and I think we didn't even know ourselves how many were not usable.
That's just as well.
Yeah, just as well.
But there were enough books with that big drive and others to fill 100 bookmobiles with 600 books each?
Yes. But shortly after that, I think we got through the bill that Lawrence Weatherby helped get through. We got money for new
books.
Yes,
for state aid.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we didn't have to depend on those books altogether. Good thing too.
But that was a wonderful way to get the beginning nucleus.
Well, it was, and to give people a sort of handle on it themselves, that they had been a part of this effort. And I think people felt satisfied about that.
Maybe the fact that so many people were involved in it is one of the secrets of the success of the Bookmobile program.
I think so, because One thing that I wanted to avoid very much was the idea, how sensitive the people are, particularly in the eastern part of the state, about condescension. And I thought, mm-hmm. I hope this wouldn't look like a sort of flannel petticoat charity from Louisville, people mm-hmm. Thrusting books down the nose of their illiterate neighbors. And I don't think it ever had that aspect.
Well, the state was treated equally in the distribution.
Oh, yes, yes. And there was no resentment on the part of the people in the poorer counties, the fact that their statistics on the lack of books is used very widely. I mean, they don't like to have their shortages made use of. And I know in the Courier Journal, which has done a lot of it, particularly in the horrors of strip mining and the economic problems of eastern Kentucky, and be very often accused of downgrading that part of the state, which of course we have no intention of doing. But they are very sensitive, and I think we did avoid that sort of Lady Bountiful view of we are giving you these wonderful bookmobiles. They agreed to support them. They were doing their share. So it wasn't any sort of, as I say, Lady Bountiful operation at all.
Do you feel a little sense of pride and satisfaction every time you see a bookmobile on the road?
Yes, I'm always glad to see one. I have a kind of warm spot for them.
Well, on behalf of the many people who have enjoyed them over the years and who still do, may I thank you for all you have given to the Bookmobile Project, as well as our appreciation to your family and the Courier Journal for the support it gives.
Well, that's terribly nice, Ms. Wiggins. I'm glad to have you say that. And as far as I'm concerned, I was a very minor part of it, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It really enlarged my experience in a very good way, because I had never traveled around in many parts. I did visit with the bookmobile, and it gave me quite another dimension of my view of the state, and I enjoyed that.
Well, you deserved some good things coming from it. Thank you so much for letting me come into your wonderful library and sit in front of your crackling fireplace this afternoon and talk about the beginning and the continuation of the bookmobile. I feel it's here to stay, don't you?
Yes, I'm sure it is. And regional libraries, even better.
Right. Thank you very much.
Well, that is very...